Luke chapter 1. Amen. Luke chapter 1. If you will, stand with us in reverence and honor to the reading of God's Word. One of the things the Lord has done in our hearts these last few days is we want to try to get you to be attentive to the fact and aware of the fact, simply because we are creatures, we're creatures of habit. We are prone to the same routine, if you will. And so one of the things we have been drawn and led to point out to you is to not come to church out of a habit and out of a routine, after we have Wednesday night service, along about Thursday evening, to start chomping at the bit wanting to be here on Sunday morning, because you know God's got something in store for you on Sunday morning. Not for my neighbor, not for my brother, not for my sister. I pray they get it too. But God's got something for me on Sunday morning. So, and I pray that will break your routine and it'll break your habit if church and worship becomes that in your life, and it does for all of us at times, that you will start seeing that God is setting a table and He's preparing a table for you through these services this morning. And just like this song that was just sung, if you think they were just entertaining or just singing because Barbara Jones felt led to have the choir sing that song and Alexis sing that, and you've missed it altogether. But the very reason that took place, it may have been because you needed to hear that, and it was a word from God to you this morning here in Old Savannah Baptist Church. So we are trying to get you focused on that fact, that there's not one of us that God's not got something prepared for today inside this service this morning. Now, what's going to happen is you're either going to miss it, you're going to take it, or you're going to get it and you're going to leave it. There's three options there. So which are you going to do this morning? So don't miss it, and when you get it, don't leave it. But when you get it, take it with you, knowing that God's doing this because God's got a plan for you. God's doing something in your life. And so I had this. I don't remember what we did 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning. Seemed like it just might have been a testimony service of sorts. But I was ready to preach this message then. Last Sunday, the Lord changed things Sunday morning, and we had that wonderful service Sunday morning. Come back Sunday night, wonderful. Just a wonderful service again. So I still didn't get to preach it. So for 2 weeks, I know God gave me a message. It's one of those things I'm wondering, did He give me this for 2 years down the road, or am I ever going to get to preach that here in this church? So long about Christmas morning, I started thinking about Sunday, even while kids were opening presents. My mind was on today, and I said, Lord, is this, what do you want Sunday morning? What is the message of the hour? What do your people need to hear? What does that brother need, that sister need, that young person, what do they need, that grandmother, that grandfather? And we find here in Luke 1 this little phrase. I'll read it in just a moment. A title straight from the text: Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And I spoke on it, I know, last Sunday morning, just here and there in the service. And so as I labored on Thursday and I thought about it, Lord, is this where you want me at? Is this what we need? I'm not talking here. I'm going to show you something. I want you to see that God indeed brought you here and God's got a word for you. And Lord, is this what you want? Is this where we're supposed to be? Am I supposed to preach on nothing is impossible? We had Christmas at my house during the morning and the lunch hour, and went to Sarah's mom on Christmas night like we always do, because we're creatures of habit and that's our tradition. And somebody, one of the in-laws or outlaws, I don't know which, give her a gift, and she turned around and passed it over to me and laid it on the table. And that was the gift. If it's coincidence or happenstance, we'll close our Bibles and go home right now. But don't tell me that God's not thinking about you and that God doesn't have a word for you. Nothing is impossible. Luke 1, verse 34. The Bible says this. Then said Mary unto the angels, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She is a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with, just underline it, circle it, write it down as a promise to you. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. Bobby Brooks, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Yes, Lord. Touch us, God, and give us an anointing and give us Holy Ghost unction. Touch that one, Lord, who's nearest to us, Father, Lord, that one, God, that carries such a burden. I pray your liberty, your resurrection power, I plead the blood, Father. Oh, God, won't you, Lord, just touch our stammering tongue of clay and help us to preach God as a dying man, a dying man and women. Amen and amen. Nothing is impossible. Listen to me, I believe today that we live in a day and a time where we have lost sight of the might and the greatness of the God in whom we've been sent here to worship this morning. I believe today we live in a time where prosperity and blessings have so rained down around us that our eyes swell over looking at the blessing and looking at the prosperity in our lives. And we lose sight of the fact that it's a great God in heaven who has enabled us to have this prosperity and these blessings. We're a different generation than mom and dad's generation and grandma and grandpa's generation. Grandma and grandpa, I want to remind you, and I generally say it at every funeral of a senior saint, but I want to remind you that grandma and grandpa, they were born right in the midst of the Great Depression. They were born in a time when, it's as hard as anybody has ever known. They come through two world wars, not one, but they come through two world wars and countless other small conflicts around the world. They come through a time when they knew that they had to utterly depend on God or they would simply die without provisions in their life. And because of that, they understood and they appreciated and they worshiped the might of the God in whom we serve. Well, today the prosperity and blessings in America has caused us to turn our eyes upon ourselves and upon our own wisdom and upon our own technology and upon our own governmental system, if you will, and we've lost sight of the fact that our God in heaven is still a great God. He's still a miracle-working God. He's not only still saving souls, but He's still a God who can and who is able. And not only that, but He's a God who's willing. And so one of the things I believe God's looking for today is a people that express an absolute and utter faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ and in His omnipotence, that He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present God in heaven in whom we worship today. I believe our worship services this morning, I believe our worship services in churches all across this land in many instances reflect the majesty in our own hearts of who God is. Because some places we gather together, and boy, there's just not much interest. There's not much expression. There's not much heartfelt worship. I mean, we're just there to do it and get done at 11 o'clock sharp and be out by 12 o'clock dull. Of course, there are places, thank God, who they know that that the God we worship this morning, He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the great I Am. He's the God who brought His children out with the power of His right hand and delivered them and provided for them and made a land of promise for them to enter in. God is still that God today. I believe in that with all of my heart. And I want to tell you this, I believe with everything that is within me, this would remove every fear inside of you, every doubt that you have, every burden that you carry. If you'll just take a breath this morning and you'll just look at a God in heaven whom in Him nothing is impossible. I don't know if you're facing a struggle. I don't know if you're facing a discouragement, a trouble, a temptation, a trial. We've been down that avenue in our life group this morning. But I am thankful today that wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, wherever you've been and whatever you have been, that our God is able to lift you, to heal you, to save you, to forgive you, to restore you, to mold you, to shape you, to use you, and for His name to be glorified in and through you. With God, nothing is impossible. And so we see this from this text. And in fact, this little phrase, if you will, nothing is impossible. It's mentioned again in Scripture, and I found four other occurrences of that simple little statement, or a statement very similar, reflecting the same thought. I find it to begin with over in Genesis 18, and I'm reminded from that text that nothing is impossible concerning God's promises. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Genesis. The Bible says that in dealing with Abraham and Sarah, that God come along and He made a visit with Abraham. And as He made that visit, Sarah was well beyond childbearing years. And the Lord promised Abraham that they would have a child later in life. Keep in mind, we're not talking about a young maiden like Mary in the text we read, but we're talking about not just granny, but we're talking about great-grandma. The Lord makes a promise to Abraham and Sarah during that time of their life when it's impossible for a woman of that age to bear a child. And so the Lord made that promise. She was already an old woman, and Abraham thought, and Sarah, I'm sure, thought that promise had died. Because God made that promise so many years ago. She was beyond childbearing years then, and all of this time had passed. And there's still this promise that God had made. And the Lord reminds them, and He says this, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? And so I'm reminded that nothing is impossible when it comes to concerning God's promises. Let me tell you what's lacking in our churches today. Can I share with you what you desperately need in your life? Inside of that Bible that you hold in your hand, there is, somebody has said, and somebody has tracked it down and counted it, there's over 6,000 promises made in that book right there that you hold in your hand. And if there's over 6,000 promises in that Bible, then how dare you and how dare me to come in this church this morning and make any attempt to worship our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ if we don't have in our own heart, in our own hand, at least a few of those promises that God has made to me and God has made to you. Now, if God's put 6,000 promises in that book, then why don't you have any of those promises that you're holding to and clinging to this morning as you sit here and try to worship? I want to tell you, that's what robs us of worship right there. We come and God has given us many things, and we come and we don't even have anything that He has given us. And young people, get this. Get on your knees and get in the Word until you find a promise from God, and you've got a promise you can hang on to. And even if it seems like that it's going to be impossible, you must know that nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for our Lord. And so you need some promises in your life. Not what Mama told you. Not what the preacher told you. But you need some promises that God is 6,000 in that book. You mean there's not one in there for you? Where have you been? What have you been doing? God's got promises right there in that good book. And He's made many of them just for you. Peculiarly you. Particularly you. You need to get along with our Lord and let the Word of God speak to you and let God show you. Hey, He's not intended for us to wander around aimlessly and just kind of stagger to and fro and here and there or flip a coin to determine this direction of our life or that the direction in our life. He's not intended for us to go ring some slot machine or crack open some Chinese, fortune cookies. He's not meant for us to. Hey, He's give us a book with promises in it, and those promises are for me and those promises are for you. And I don't care where you're at or where you've been. Nothing's too hard for God if you'll claim some of His promises today. My first promises God ever gave me was after we were married and Elizabeth was coming along, and I began praying then and there that God would save my children. I didn't know we was going to have Abigail. Hadn't even talked about her. But I was praying then and there, whatever God allowed us to have as far as children goes. I was praying fervently, God, save my children. Save my children. When they reach that age, whatever age that is, save them and save them young. Well, I knew the urgency of the matter. And God spoke to me and clearly one day. And God said, I'll save your children. You live like you need to live. Be what you're supposed to be. And when your children reach that age, I'll save them. And I remember when God started dealing with Elizabeth at about 5 or 6 years old, and she was asking all those questions. And our bedroom was right across from her bedroom. At the time, she was very... very close, just a little house in Sonook, not just more than a few steps really from ours to hers, across the hallway. We talked about it coming home from church one night, and she yelled across the room in the dark of the night as we had all just laid down. And she said, Daddy? I said, yeah. And she said, Daddy, if I died right now, would I die and go to hell? I knew then God was beginning that work in her heart. God was bringing her on that journey of salvation, of eternity, of heaven and hell, of accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. God, nothing is impossible when it comes to concerning the promises God's made. And I'd like to see a show of hands. I'm not going to ask for it, but I would like to see a show of hands this morning if I could, and I'm not doing it. But I'd just like to know how many people have come this morning and you've got a promise that God has made you that yet has been fulfilled. You've got a promise you're clinging to. You've got a promise you're holding to. You know God spoke in His Word to you, and God spoke in your prayer time and your relationship with Him. And I'll just wonder this morning, how many hands would not be raised because you don't have any promises? You've not been in a relationship enough to know that God's got a promise for you. Well, listen to me. And if you're here today and you know God said something to you, and I mean when God speaks it, you know it. In recent days, God's given me a promise, and I'm looking for the coming of that promise. I don't know the when of the matter. I don't know the what. I don't know the where of the matter. All I know is God time and again has spoke to me, and I'm hanging on by faith to what He has shared. But He told Abraham and Sarah, He said, at the time appointed, I will. You can go to Genesis 18 and underline that and mark that down as another promise, that not only has God made me a promise, but God said at the appointed time, I will. That means it's in God's time. When God delivers those promises and God delivers the guarantees of the things He spoke to you in faith, God will do it in His time. Are you with me? Say amen. All right, now listen. And then this phrase is found again as we think about nothing is impossible. It's not only found concerning God's promise, nothing is impossible concerning God's promises, but nothing is impossible concerning God's provisions. It's found again in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11. And that's where, if you remember in Numbers 11, oh my goodness, those children, they were Baptists, the children of Israel, through and through. See, God had delivered them from bondage. God had delivered them and parted the Red Sea. They had seen the power and the might of God. And they get out in the wilderness, and God starts sending manna from heaven. And those bunch of foolish folks, they look around and say, they call it manna, literally. What is it? Well, how can you ask what is it? The Bible says that it tastes like fresh oil. It's fry bread, Brother David. That's what it was. They didn't even know it. Didn't know a good thing when they saw it. But they got tired of it. And so they begin to complain, and they begin to grumble, and they got Moses, and they said, Moses, man, we got to tell you something. This fry bread's killing us. I mean, it's like morning, noon, and night, and we're doing everything we can with it. We're sprinkling it with honey and cinnamon, and then we put chili on it, and it's just too much. We're sick of this. And we were sitting around talking the other day, and we got to remembering the fish back in Egypt, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and we wished we were still back there. And so Moses, he can't stand this belly aching, and he goes to God, and he said, God, the people's just killing me, this burden to hear this every day. And what are we going to do, Lord? And the Lord says, well, we're going to get you 70 elders, and the Spirit that rests on you will rest on them. They'll help you make these decisions and do all of the daily duties and things you need to do. But he said, I want you to go back and tell the people. I want you to go back, and I want you to ask them, is the Lord's hand waxing short? Has my hand shortened to where it cannot provide? And the Lord tells them, I'm going to send them quail. And the Bible says, here's what God did. The Bible says that God sent them quail, and that the quail were so plentiful that you could go a day's journey in one direction and they'd be quail. You'd go a day's journey the next direction and they'd be quail. That the quail was stacked about 2 feet high, the Bible says. And the Bible just speaks of the volume of God's provision, because nothing is impossible when it comes to the provisions of God. I don't know what it is you need in your life, what you lack in your life. I don't care what burden you carry, wondering where this is going to come from or that's going to come from. Listen to me. I'm telling you, God said His hand's not short. Listen to me. If He can set a table in the wilderness for a bunch of rebellious, complaining people, then He can set a table for faithful saints at Old Savannah on Sunday morning here in this Baptist church. When we were in the Love Shack in Hazelwood, and if you're not familiar with that, you'll just have to look up former sermons or catch me after church. Right? Buy my lunch today, and I'll tell you all about it. How's that? When we got married and we lived down in that garage apartment, and we lived downstairs, and Sarah's brother and sister lived upstairs. Don't ever live next door or upstairs, downstairs with family, let me just say it like that. But I remember, you know, we had a budget. We were both in school. I was pastoring, part-time still in law enforcement, hydro seeding, doing everything we could. And it was rice and beans, and beans and rice. There wasn't no credit cards. We weren't racking up credit card debts. There was no big extravagant vacations. There was none of that. We were living on a budget. Anybody know what that is? Say amen. Okay, about five of you know what a budget is. The rest of you are so far in debt that you'll never dig your way out in a lifetime. A budget, let me say this, our young people's looking at me like a calf at a new gate. A budget is when you have X amount of money, and so you don't spend beyond that money coming in. We'll talk about that later in Economics 101. But we had a budget. We had to stick with it. We only had so much money. And I remember in those days how even the simplest of things God would provide for. God always uses people. Sometimes it was an Ingalls card in the mailbox. Sometimes it was a bag of groceries at the door. The apartment itself. We just, all we had to pay was the electricity and the water bill. How God provided all of those things. I remember I was about to finish Fruitland, and I went over to my papa's yard in the old last settlement. I stood over there one day. We were out in the yard talking, and he asked about school, and I just told him. I said, well, when I finish this two-year degree, I'm done. I was burnt out. I'd been driving to Hendersonville for 2 years. I'd drive one day, Todd drive the next day, but still tired of the trip and the travel. And I told my papa, I said, I'm done. I said, I'm finished. I'm not going anymore. I'm done. And he, with a fourth-grade education, he looked at me and he thought for a minute, and he said, I'll tell you this. He said, if I had a chance to go, he said, I'd go as far as I could go, and I'd not quit until I'd done everything I could do. I took that to heart, and I left out of that visit that day, and I got in my truck, and I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, here's the deal. I'll go on, and I'll go as far as you want me to go, but you got to make a way, because we don't have it. I mean, it's rice and beans and rice every night, and I just don't know how much more of that I could take. I'm starting to think about fish and leeks and onions and melons back in Egypt, and the fried bread's good. You're going to have to do something if it's what you want. And I got back that day and talked to one of my friends at Fruitland, and he had been in, long story short, but he told me that, hey, you need to call Liberty University. You need to call up there and you need to ask them about this soldier's opportunity agreement they have. There's a provision there for scholarship. I'm about to take advantage of it myself. Call and see what they tell you. And I called up there, and before I got off the phone that next day, they let me know that I could finish out a four-year degree, and it would not cost me one dime. We're speaking of about, at that time, Brother Randy, about $40,000 in education, and it hadn't cost not one bit. Listen, I know this is just finances I'm talking about. I know it's just about material things I'm talking. I just want you to understand that nothing is impossible with God. When you have needs in your life, when it comes to God providing for you, whether that be physical provisions, whether that be spiritual provisions, whether it be mental or emotional provisions in your life, God's able to provide. His hand is not shortened, and His hand has not grown cold toward those that love Him. But our God's able to do that, because nothing is impossible with God. And so that's the God. Hey, I don't even have time to tell you about the time that He's given me a song at midnight, or the time that He's let me see another sunrise, or the time He's let, just when I really needed a touch from Him. He'd let somebody call me, Brother Bobby, or somebody would end up dropping by the house. It really ain't been that long ago, about 6 months ago or so, I guess, one day. Man, I'm telling you, I was in need. I was in a struggle, and I was just burdened, and I was sitting on the couch, and for some reason I had my phone in my hand and my Bible by my side, and my phone started going off like a madman, like repeated text. Ding, 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 ding. I thought I had won the lottery there for a minute. And I flipped those texts open, and it was Brother Barry Spears. And Brother Barry, he preached a sermon in a text message. There was about 41 text messages come through where just one continuous text. He had sent those through, and at the bottom, he said, man, he said, I had you on my mind this morning. I just needed to leave this with you and give this to you. I hadn't talked to him. I hadn't even spoken to him, but I'm glad God gave me. Hey, God, hey, that's just God's provision. God is able, and nothing is impossible with God. What is it that you need concerning God's promises? Because nothing's too hard for God. I would be really more concerned this morning not with a person that doesn't have a promise, though that grievously concerns me and burdens me. You're a child of God. God's give you something, and it's in that book. You just got to get it and put your name beside it. And then I'm more concerned with the person who God's give a promise, but you're biting your nails wondering, God, you told me you would. Now where are you at? God, you said this would happen, but why ain't it happened yet? You just be faithful, and you just keep doing what you're supposed to do, and know that at the appointed time, when it comes to God's promise, know that when it comes to God's provisions, that just as God did children in the wilderness who were rebellious and stubborn, my friend, God provided for them. God will provide for you as a faithful saint of His. I'm going to finish very quick. And God, nothing is impossible when it comes to God's power. The book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32, the Lord is telling Jeremiah this. Jeremiah was struggling with some things. He needed an answer from God. And here's what the Lord told him. The Lord said, I made the heavens and the earth. Now we're talking about God's power here. The Lord said, I made the heavens and the earth. He said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, and is there anything too hard for me? Friends, listen to me. You step out the door of that church this morning and you see these cloud-covered hilltops and these mountains around here and that God's sending rain upon today, and you take one look at that and you tell me that our God's not still a powerful God, or our God can't, or our God's unable. My friend, you ought to take one look around you or step out into the midnight sky tonight and turn your eyes to heaven and see the stars above, and you're facing something in your life that's going to require the hand and the touch of God. You ought to know that God is that anything is possible with Him when it comes to His power in our lives. Listen, I spoke of this the other Sunday, I believe, but scientists say when it comes to the stars that just what we can observe, the observable universe, they say that there's 100 billion galaxies besides ours that's observable. 100 billion galaxies. Some of these galaxies are 20 times the size of the Milky Way. 20 times. And they say that within our own galaxy, within the Milky Way, they say that there's some 300 billion stars. Now, are you getting this? In our galaxy, there's 300 billion stars, there's 100 billion other galaxies out there, and some of those galaxies are 20 times bigger than ours, and so they estimate, when we're thinking about the stars in the sky, the stars that there are, they estimate that there's 70 billion trillion stars. And the God in whom we've worshiped this morning, He hung every one of those stars in place. He knows the name of every single one of those 70 billion trillion stars above. That's the God in whom we serve. I don't care what the obstacle is. I don't care how big the mountain is. I don't care how deep the valley is. I know today nothing is impossible when it comes to the power of God in the life of His children. In fact, listen to what the Bible says. Now, when we think about an artist, he uses a canvas, he uses paint, and he uses a brush, and he makes a masterpiece. We think about the potter, and the potter uses the clay, he uses water as well, he uses a wheel to make a vessel of glory, if you would, so to speak. We think of a builder. While the builder, he's got all of his tools, he's got nails, and he's got the materials, and he goes to building, and he builds a building like the Taj Mahal, or just a building or a piece of architecture that is glorious in some fashion. And so we give the potter and the artist and the builder these things, and they can make something. But the Bible says when God created, that God took nothing and He made everything. It's not that God had tools or pieces or projects or supplies laying around, but God took nothing and He made everything that we know today. And if God can do that, can't He take the nothings in your life, the struggles in your life, the mountains in your life, I mean the valleys, the oceans in your life? Can't He do something with that? Because nothing is impossible when it comes to God's power. Martha Cummings gives Him an invitation. I was thinking, as I thought on that, I was thinking about Mary Ruth Smith. She was a lady in my first pastorate who almost 11 years before I got there, she got pancreatic cancer. And for those of you who are familiar with cancer and all of that, you know when a doctor says it's in your pancreas, that's bad. They brought her into the doctor's office. She had two girls. One of the girls was my age. I went to school with her, and that girl was in eighth grade. Myself and this lady's daughter were in eighth grade at the time. The doctor come in and told her and her husband, said, you got cancer in your pancreas. You got 3 months to live. 3 months. You need to get your affairs in order. You need to get your daughters in here by your side. You need to tell them everything you ever want them to know, because in 3 months you'll be dead. And so, taking the doctor's advice, they began that journey. And she told me, when I went there in that pastorate, She said, "Preacher, I started praying." And she said, "I asked God to do this." She said, "I knew my two little girls, they needed a mama." And she said, "I asked God, God, if you will, let me see my two little girls graduate high school." She said, "God, I believe that if you'll let them graduate high school," she said, "I believe they'll be all right in life. If you'll let me get them to that age, let me be a mama to them." 11 years later, she lay in the bed one day and she told me, she said, "Preacher, I asked God 11 years ago, let me see my daughters graduate high school." She said, "I've seen them graduate high school, college. I've seen one of them get a master's degree, and I've seen grandchildren born. The doctor gave me 3 months. God gave me 11 years. Skin and bones. This is a lesson for some of you. Some of you who won't be back tonight because it's a rainy day and the recliner's good. Sunday after Sunday, service after service. Skin and bones with a big old sun hat on. She had no hair. She'd come into the church and she'd sit in the back. She'd sit in the back because she'd get sick from all of the treatments that she was on for 11 years on treatments. And she'd sit in the back and she'd stay and she'd smile. Sometimes she'd have to get up and leave because she got sick. She'd call me and she said, "Preacher, I wasn't walking out on you again." She said, "But this new round of treatments is just making me sick. I stayed as long as I could." And for 11 years, she found out that nothing is impossible when it concerns God's power. Let me close with this. Nothing is impossible when it comes to God's pardon in our lives. There's this story in the book of Matthew. A rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And that's the discourse where Jesus says, "Well, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that bewildered the disciples, and I don't have time to teach on all of it, but the disciple says, "Well, Lord, who then can be saved?" And our Lord, in just a simple statement, he said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then I started thinking about the man I told you about the other day. His name's Richard, who I dealt with on both occasions when he committed armed robbery. The second time, first time was with a weapon he faked, gun in his pocket. The second time he had a Bowie knife and he shoved the cashier's head on the counter and put the knife to her throat and demanded the cash. The last time I seen him was that last robbery, and we arrested him about 30 minutes later at his apartment. And today he's serving as an associate pastor, youth pastor in a Baptist church in Haywood County, where he's on fire for Jesus. That's the power of God when it comes to pardon. With God, nothing's impossible. I was thinking about an old buddy of mine I've told you before, but he was tough and rough and he never needed a thing. He was a mover and a shaker and he was always giving out and handing out. He was hardened by life and he was mean and he was bitter, and you saw it in his relationship with people. He was about as bitter and a mean man as you could ever get around. But for some reason, he took a liking to me, and he is a co-worker of mine, and we developed like a brother-like relationship. And then when I got saved, he was able one night to call me and meet me in the plaza, patrol car beside patrol car. And this hardened, bitter, tough young man at the time, with tears in his eyes, said, "I don't know what you have, but," he said, "I want it. Can you tell me about it?" Nothing is impossible when it comes to God's pardon. Twice in the last year, I've been in the church in Haywood County where when I walked in the first time, I saw this girl who I thought I knew, and indeed I did know her. And when I would do all of my bar checks at the bars around Waynesville, when I would work nights, we'd go in all of our bars and walk around and kind of let people know we're there, we're close, we're near. And all of that, I would go to all of those bars around town, and I don't know a nice way to say this, but she was a barfly. She was always in those bars on Thursday and Fridays and Saturday nights. About a year ago, I went to one of these churches in town, and I saw what I thought was her, and indeed it was her, and she was praising the Lord and singing in the choir. And I went just not long ago, and she spoke up and gave testimony, and buddy, she just poured it out in worship. That's the power of God when it comes to pardon. With God, nothing is impossible. I thought about an old buddy of mine who he used to be in a rock and roll band, and he had earrings in his ears. And he and his wife lived in a single wide trailer, and they only had one truck. I told our life group this the other day. And they worked at the same plant, and she worked an earlier shift than him. So he would put dope under the front seat of his truck and send her to work on the early shift, and she didn't even know it. And when he got to work riding with the buddy, he'd get to the plant and go get the dope and sell all the dope, sending his wife driving down the road with enough dope to sell. Didn't even tell her. And she was faithful to go to church. This speaks of faithfulness. It ought to deal with you on being faithful and being here tonight, being here Wednesday night, being here revival nights, being here in fellowships, being here on work day. She is faithful. She got up and went, and he got under conviction about that. And one Sunday morning while she was at church, he got down on his knees and asked God to save his soul. He got off of his knees. He cut his hair off. He took his earrings out. He quit his rock and roll band. And he eventually surrendered to the ministry, and he could sing. Oh, he could sing and pick a guitar like you'd never heard before. Nothing is impossible when it comes to the pardon of God. Listen to me. There's nobody that you know and you're praying for that's not gone too far or too late. There's nobody that you know that's done so much. There's nobody that you know that's so hard that God can't save them, because nothing is impossible with God. If I thought for a second there was one person who God couldn't save, if I thought for one second there was one person that God couldn't bring back home, if I thought for one second there was one person that the grace and mercy of God couldn't lift, I'd quit preaching right now. I think about Dave James, 83 years old. He was a farmer. He come to church, full-time cow farmer. He come to church during those summer months when the cattle down in that part of the country, they just free-ranged them back in on the balls around Upper Cat. But wintertime come, they brought the cows back down. He had to care for them, so he couldn't come to church in the wintertime at all. It's all he could do to get everything done, being 83 years old. One day, a little old lady in the church named Edith, she come to me and she said, "Preacher," she called me. She said, "Preacher, we got to go see Dave James." I said, "Oh, Lord, what's happened? What's going on with Dave? Is he in the hospital? Is he sick?" "Why?" She said, "No, preacher." She said, "I talked to him on the phone. And she said, I got him on my heart, and I asked him, 'Dave, are you saved? Do you know you saved, preacher?' He said he wasn't." She said, "Preacher, I told him, said, 'Dave, you and I used to be the youngest people on this creek.' And she said, 'Now we're the oldest people on this creek. And if nature takes its course, you and I are to be the next ones to die. Can I bring the preacher to see you?' And she said, 'Preacher, can we go?' I said, 'When?' She said, 'How about Wednesday night after church?' I said, 'Let's go.' It was storming that night, and we rode straight down there after church and walked in old Dave's house, and Dave sat there in a pair of old overalls. He had tobacco running down the side of his face, and the front of them, the bib of that overalls on his big old belly was just covered in tobacco juice. I said, 'Dave, have you ever been saved?' And he said, 'No.' And I said, 'Dave, do you know you need to be?' He said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Dave, do you want to be?' And then his belly began to shake as he began to weep. He said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Dave, let me show you some scripture.' And we read the book of Romans, and we bowed our head and prayed. And old Dave James, he sat there and he cried and cried and cried. And on top of that old tobacco spit on his belly and the bib of those overalls, he just watered it all with tears. 83 years old, Dave James got saved. He died 3 weeks later, fell off a tractor, was killed, or had a heart attack, they don't know. What are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to tell you is this. Quit looking at a small God. He's not a small God. He's a big God. He's a big God. And some of you young people, you're trying to choose paths in life. You're trying to choose careers in life. You're trying to choose educations in life based upon the resources that you see, based upon the things that you can lay your hands on. But you've got to know and you've got to trust that if God leads, God's going to provide. And if you'll follow Him, God's going to make a way even when you can't make a way. Nothing is impossible with God when it comes to the promises of God. Do you have any promises? Nothing's impossible when it comes to God's provisions in your life. What is it that you so need in your life? God's able. Nothing's impossible when it comes to the power of God. Nothing's impossible when it comes to God's pardon. I want to ask you this morning. Could it be today that the Holy Spirit of God has come down and reaffirmed His Word to let you know, don't be hopeless. Don't be hopeless. In the hands of God, everything's possible. If an old barren woman can conceive, If a virgin can be with child, then your situation is not hopeless. Don't be helpless. Don't give up. Don't get your head down. Don't look back. But just have faith that God spoke a word to you this morning. A word from the Bible. From Luke chapter 1. That with God, all things are possible. I want you to stand. I just want you to come. I know we're drawing late. Just go ahead and come right now. We don't even have time to make an appeal anymore for this invitation, but you just need to come and move. God's dealt with your heart. You come. Come quickly.
No one
he spoke
knew
to you early.
How that's alone good, I was right. Feeling.
Like I'm praying with Miss Tiffany right now.
And the emptiness I tried so
yes,
hard to
God.
Hide.
God's dealing with you.
Though I laughed and said
yes.
My life was fine without
nothing
you. I was covering
that's right. You need to come. Come.
The secret tears I cried.
That's right. Amen.
Then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed that day on Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I've found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Yes, there have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know how many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I've found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.